How's it going, everybody? This is David. I would like to talk to you guys about the doctrine of the unpardonable sin. A lot of people don't realize that according to what the Bible teaches, there are three sins that are unpardonable, cannot be forgiven. And some people would think that God would forgive all sins and any sin. And it is true that God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance in light of getting saved. But the Bible does clearly teach that there are two different camps about, you know, those who are the sons of God, who are saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ, and the sons of the devil. And these children of the devil have done something very specific that crossed them over the boundary into becoming a child of the devil. Now, just like a child of God can never lose his salvation, because once you are saved, you are always saved. A child of the devil, once they become a child of the devil, they are condemned forever. Elsewhere in the book of Jude, the Bible talks about that they are twice dead, and basically they can never be saved. But what are these unpardonable sins? Well, the first one is what's known as blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. What is that? Well, the Bible teaches in Mark chapter 3, verse 22, this is an example of Jesus talking to the Pharisees on what it is or what it means to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Now let's take a look. It says in verse 22, "And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables." And now these are the words of Jesus. "How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house." Now notice verse 28, it says, "Verily, I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies, wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation." Why? Verse 30 tells us why. "Because they said he hath an unclean spirit." So the Bible is clearly showing us that what does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Spirit? It's basically saying that Jesus Christ has an unclean spirit, or that the Holy Spirit is an unclean spirit. Now, we understand that the Bible shows us that God is revealed in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, Jesus does say all manners of sins will be forgiven unto men, except for blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Elsewhere in a parallel passage, Jesus Christ shows us that you can blaspheme against God, whether it be the Father or the Son, and you can be forgiven. That's not blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. I don't recommend you do that, and I don't recommend anyone, you know, test the line and see what does that really mean. But Jesus clearly teaches in a parallel passage that if you blaspheme against him, the Son of Man, or Jesus Christ, that can be forgiven. But to say that God, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, is an unclean spirit, or is pagan, or is from the devil, that is where you've crossed the line into blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Matthew 12, 31, these are the words of Jesus. It says the same thing. "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men." Pause there. Now notice this, all manner of sin and blasphemy, meaning blasphemy can be done that's not in reference to the Holy Ghost. You know, we explain to people that when they stub their toe on accident and yell, OMG, that is blasphemy. Blasphemy is just basically taking the name of God and using it as a cuss word or as a bad statement. I've heard it said before, if you're not talking to God or about God, he shouldn't be mentioned or uttered in your mouth. because God is holy and needs to be respected. And we should reverence the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Ghost. But God forbid you make a mistake and use the Lord's name in vain as a cuss word or as an expletive. You know, that can be forgiven. But if someone says that the Father or Jesus or the Holy Ghost is of Satan or of the devil or is unclean or is pagan or something like that, that is where you've just crossed the line into blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Now it goes on to read and says in verse 32, "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." So once again, the Bible is clearly showing us that there is a difference between blasphemy in general and blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. So that's the first unpardonable sin, blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. If someone does this, they are condemned and can never be saved. They are done. But what's a second unpardonable sin? The Bible says that if you receive the mark of the beast in the end times, you are done. You can never be saved. Now, what do you mean? In the end times, there will be a time period known as the Great Tribulation. This is when the Antichrist, who is a person who will put himself in the place of Christ, professing that he is Jesus, is going to wage war with the saints or with Christians. And in doing so, he's going to create a one world monetary system known as the Mark of the Beast. And it will be something that will be placed into your right hand or in your forehead. Now, notice what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. It reads, "And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And notice verse 5. "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and what? Blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in what? Blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven." Now, you can notice in verse 5 that there are three examples of blasphemy against God. Now, although it doesn't clearly say that these people have blasphemed the Holy Spirit, I would venture to guess this is true. Why? Because if you are saying that someone else is Jesus, like the Antichrist, you're basically denying the true Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a similarity in someone who would receive the mark of the beast and blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And notice it's mentioned three times, and I think that's symbolic of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that these three are one. So obviously, these people, they worship the beast. They cannot receive the mark of the beast unless they worship the beast. So it goes on to read in verse 7. Look down. It reads, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them." And don't miss that part. It says, "and to overcome them." Not that he might, but he is going to overcome them. "And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life or the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Now turn, if you would, to verse 15. Look at what it says. "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." So once again, the Bible is clearly emphasizing to receive this mark, you must worship the beast. If you don't worship the beast, you are not going to receive this mark. So that is a prerequisite to receiving the mark, is worshiping of the beast. It goes on to read in verse 16, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that have the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name, Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That's where we get the number 666 from. So some people would say, well, what if you cut your hand off? Or what if, you know, you repented or changed your mind about receiving that mark? Unfortunately, what people don't realize is that the Bible already tells us that people who receive this mark do not repent of what they have done. This goes back to my point about once you have been given over to become a child of the devil, you can never go back to not being a child of the devil. Why would you say that? Look down at Revelation chapter 16, verse 1. It reads, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." So now we have just entered the pouring out of the wrath of God. Let's look at verse 2. "And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon" who? "The men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image." So why are these guys so nervous? Well, let's take a look. "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and a power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and what? Blaspheme the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory." So when God is pouring out his wrath on the earth for the cause of the great tribulation, the Antichrist waging war with the saints, forcing people to receive the mark of the beast and having them worship him, God is so angry that when he pours out his wrath, the people that denied the Lord Jesus Christ and received the mark are so twisted in their thinking that even though all this is happening, they will not repent or realize that they have messed up or done wrong or changed their mind on having done the wrong thing by worshiping the Antichrist. It said clearly, "And they repented not to give him glory." And the last thing I'm going to point out is adding to or taking from God's word. So what do I mean by that? In the Bible, at the very end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18, it reads, and this is the Apostle John speaking. It says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." So notice the Bible is saying that God will add unto you the plagues that are written in Revelation. God will take your name out of the book of life if you take away from God's word, add to God's word. Well, how does someone do that? Well, as people who preach the Bible, who proclaim the truth of what the Bible is teaching, you gotta be really hesitant of ever saying, "Thus saith the Lord," if the Bible does not have a clear statement on that. You do not want to add to God's word, add to the doctrines of the Bible. There are lots of people that have secondary teachings or secondary thoughts about certain subjects, but when it comes to "Thus saith the Lord," we need to make very clearly what is God said and what is man's opinion. And preachers and evangelists and missionaries who go around preaching the Bible need to realize that if ever you're going to say, "Thus saith the Lord," or "the Bible has said," you need to have a chapter and verse to back that up. Also, people who would take from the Word of God, meaning take away doctrines out of the Bible or exact phrases, their names are to be taken out of the book of life. And modern translations of the Bible and modern scholars who think that new discoveries of ancient artifacts are proofs of, you know, the Bible changing over time and taking out whole sections of the Bible. A good example is the very last ending of Mark chapter 16. a lot of scholars and professed, professionals say that that is not original to what the author has written. Even though it has stood the test of time and made its way all the way from the time of the original handwriting, all the way through the Dark Ages, all the way up until we receive the King James Bible, we have that in Mark 16, the very last part of it. A new discovery found in the Sinai Peninsula, in the Vatican Church, Codex Sinaiticus, Codex Vaticanus, they are skeptical if they were original. So basically, they're saying that they are not supposed to be in the Bible. And not only that, there are other famous passages that they will say are null and void, like, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That famous statement of Jesus Christ himself. Now, if you are going to take away from God's word, you have never forgiveness. If you're going to add to God's words, people like Muhammad who add revelations in the Quran, people like Joseph Smith who add into the Book of Mormon, God has spoken to me and he's putting new revelation down. You are a child of the devil. So what are the three unpardonable sins according to what the Bible teaches? Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, receiving the mark of the beast, and adding or subtracting the words of God from the Bible. If ever you know someone who does these things, take it to the bank. They are a false prophet. They are someone to be feared and to be avoided. Now, when I say feared, I'm saying not to hear them out. You know, we do not fear the children of the devil, but we do want to be wary of them. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And I just want you to understand that if you're here listening to this and speculating, if you've ever blasphemed the Holy Ghost, if you've ever added to or subtracted from God's word, I know none of you have received the mark of the beast, or I'm almost certain most of you haven't. Just realize that if you're agonizing over thinking if you've accidentally blasphemed the Holy Ghost, it's very likely you haven't. Because once again, like it shows in Revelation, these people who do this are a special kind of evil. The average person is not ready to, you know, blaspheme the Holy Ghost or to add or subtract from God's word and is not ready to receive the mark of the beast. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your true Lord and Savior and you accidentally blaspheme God, you're going to be fine. You're going to be safe. You're sealed into the day of redemption. But for the unsaved, the Bible does teach there is no temptation but such as is common to man. It is not common for somebody to want to do these extreme sinful actions. And I'm going to leave you on this one last note, because some people think murder is an unpardonable sin, or suicide is an unpardonable sin. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that if you do these things, you will not be saved. Remember, Jesus Christ says, all manner of sins and blasphemy shall be forgiven, except for the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. And of course, as we reach the end times, people who would be willing to blaspheme the Holy Ghost will receive a mark in their hand. And if they're willing to do those things, there are false prophets today that add and take from God's word. And I just wanted you to know the true difference between a true unpardonable sin and what is not an unpardonable sin. We'll see you next time. Aloha.